This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Thursday, March 1st, 2018. It's Nate Bucati's 32nd birthday. We're all very excited.
I don't feel a day older than 31.
Ty Lebo is going to jump out of a cake at
9:30.
Jump into a cake.
Nope.
At 9:45.
It will. Nope. He's gonna, there'll be no cake jumping by Todd Lebo.
You don't get to tell him what to do.
He's gonna make a. He's gonna make a. He's gonna get some churros y chocolate. He's gonna make a churro disappear. At 9:30.
All right.
So I don't know what that means. Well, Todd, we're waiting. Right now, while we're waiting for Todd Lebo to do all of those things, we'll talk to Herm Edwards. Coach, how are you?
Good morning, man. Happy birthdays are obviously deep. But now, I'm well. We start our spring practice here on the 13th of March, so we're kind of excited about that.
I'm not. I know I'm not going to give any names, but Jake wants to know if you're looking for a long and lean athlete that perhaps you could mold into a terrific offensive lineman.
That is a positive scouting report. Right.
I could also double as a punter and kicker.
He has 1 year of eligibility left.
I do have
Coach.
One.
I 1 year it. Left.
I like it. So. And you know what? He has a great Starbucks card, so that's
right.
Even better.
Yeah, it works.
Does this count as an official recruiting visit, or is this, you're not in home? Right.
This is unofficial. We had some unofficials come in this week, too, so I get it. It's unofficial right now.
All right, Coach. So a lot of things have happened since we last talked, and we want to focus on Marcus Peters being traded to the Rams for basically Marcus Peters and a 6th-round pick to the Rams for a 4th this year and a 2nd next year. Right. Why do you think, knowing what you know and knowing who you know, why do you think the Chiefs traded Marcus Peters?
Well, you don't. When a player of his caliber gets traded, it obviously has nothing to do with talent. We all can realize that. I think it comes to the identity of the organization, and that starts at the top, in my opinion. You always have these discussions when you become a head coach with ownership on your philosophy and things that you will not tolerate when it puts, when it questions your organization. And this young man is a talented player, one of the better corners in the National Football League. And I think his actions sometimes don't mimic what this organization really, truly, at the core of it, and this is the Hunt family, in my opinion, and I've worked for those folks for 10 years. They want a football team that is well-respected. Not only how they win games, but also at times when it doesn't go their way. And I think they've always held that to the highest standard. You know, their name is on this organization as well. It's the Kansas City Chiefs, but it's owned by the Hunt family. And with that being said, I think we have seen this young man's actions. They don't reflect that. They don't reflect of the manner of how you should play the game of football when the whistle stops blowing. And I think he has crossed the line numerous times. We've all seen it. He's an emotional player. And after a while, it becomes, you know, a distraction. It becomes a distraction because once the game is over, regardless of what the outcome is, he becomes the main subject of conversation. That's not good, guys. Especially when it's a conversation that's not positive. And so we've seen this occur numerous times, and I'm pretty sure he has been talked to, and eventually you got to make a decision, and they made the decision to go this way. Not surprising, by the way, to me.
So when you say it starts at the top, Coach, Andy Reid came out yesterday and said, I want to clear some things up. This, you know, people are saying that Clark Hunt had something to do with this. He doesn't have anything to do with this. He gives me and Brett Veach the autonomy to make whatever moves we want. Doesn't sound like you buy that.
I buy that, but Andy as well. You know, Andy's a professional football coach. This, you know, look, well, I've always said this, guy, and you heard it. Either it's like parenting. Either you're coaching it or you're allowing it to happen. Andy's not coaching it. He's not coaching players to behave this way. There's no doubt. But if it keeps occurring, he's allowing it to happen. So something has to be done. And I think they've had enough conversations. Look, you guys have had conversations with me on the radio when I was working for ESPN about this situation. Look, not a bad guy at all, but I think his outbursts have come to a head now. This reminds me a little bit about the New York situation, right? They got one of the most talented receivers in the National Football League that plays for the Giants. We've seen this happen up there. So I just think eventually as an organization, it starts with ownership, with the head coach, because you're always having these conversations. You're saying, you know what? What are we going to do? We've done everything we can to make this player understand that this is not becoming of our organization. It's bigger than our organization. It's the National Football League, by the way, guys. You know, and we all laugh, and I say it all the time, hey, protect the shield. That's the first thing I learned when I came in the National Football League. Protect the shield. The integrity of the shield is very important. How we play the game, we want others to emulate how our players play the game. We want to do it correctly. It's an emotional, violent game. But within the framework of the rules, we have to make sure our emotions don't spill over and become a distraction for the game. That has taken place, not once, not twice, numerous times. You can go back and look at it, and some fans will side on the side of ownership and the head coach. Some fans will say, oh, that's ridiculous. You shouldn't. I get all that. But at the end, this does not surprise me at all, guys.
And look, Coach, you're right. And this is an unbelievably polarizing trade for the Chiefs fan base. A bunch of fans are pissed. And, yeah. And there's a lot of fans that think, okay, if he would not have protested the national anthem and sat on the end for the national anthem, he'd still be here. Do you think it was do you think Clark Hunt at any point said, you know what, this guy's got to go, and do you think that was a reason?
No. And I don't think it has anything to do with the national anthem. I don't. It's beyond a national anthem. Okay? Just go back into history and watch him play and watch the incidents that occur in the field that are not have nothing to do with football. Okay? Just go. We got short-term memories sometimes. And you see it occurring, and a year will go by, and it goes away, and you forget about that one, and you forget about the next one. It's a repeat offender, you know, and when it continues to be, then all of a sudden, then it becomes his personality, and it's like, you know what, well, I can do it. I can get a 15-yard penalty. Could lose a game for us, by the way. Could lose a game, but it's okay because I'm a good player and I'm in the Pro Bowl, and it don't matter. It matters because the good players are held to a higher standard. I've always said this, and the players will tell you this, any players ever play for me, I treat everyone fair. I don't treat everyone the same. The stars are going to get treated a little bit different. That's a fact. But the expectations for those stars are higher, too. And you can't do what he's been able to do, you know, year after year. Look, he's going to miss some games just getting thrown out. Yeah, come on, guys. You can't. Your star player needs to be on the field. He can't get thrown out of a football game. Come on. What are we doing here? This is professional football. This is not recreation football. This is not a rec league. We don't do that, guys. There's a standard that you got to meet, period. And people say, well, it's unfair. No, it's not unfair. Those are the rules. There's rules in life. There's expectations in life. And when you cross the rules, when you cross those lines, there are consequences. And they're for everyone. You know, we got to stop all this. This is, you know, and I get it. It's polarizing. It's an event, and it's good for the talk shows, and it's good for the worldwide leader. The kid's a great player. No one's questioning that.
Coach, Peter King reported that 28 teams were not interested. Only 3 teams were interested.
How about that?
If you were still a head coach in the NFL and Marcus Peters became available, would you want to trade for him? Would you want to coach him?
I'd have to have a long talk with him. Yeah. I mean, I think I can help him. That's just me. But every coach thinks that. But I've dealt with some guys with his personality. I got no problem with personality. I don't. I told these guys, hey, I love your personalities. Just don't cross the line. And I'll tell you where the line's at. I don't want players to be robots. I love personalities. I love guys with passion. This guy has – look, this Odell Beckham is the same way. Come on, guys. Who are we kidding? You see what he does. Why? You're the best player on the field. Just play the game of football. You don't need any more attention. You're good. Everybody knows you're good. But you can't do that. You can't do the things that all of a sudden the game's over, guys. And we're not talking about the game anymore. We're talking about an incident that happened. That's bad for football. It's just bad. You don't want that. It's just bad for the game of football. When the next day after the game's over, a great football game. Look, I'll compare it to this. We watched the Pittsburgh Steelers and the New England Patriots play in a regular season game in Pittsburgh. You're talking about for 2 minutes and a half minutes, you saw two of the best quarterbacks, Captain America and Big Ben, go up and down the field. And it was compelling football. You sit there and you watch it. You go, man, this is football. And what did we talk about at the end? We talked about the tight end. Was it a catch or not a catch? You don't want to talk about that after a game like that. It's not good for football. No one talks about the quarterbacks. No one talks about how great a game was. It was, this is a catch. It's not a catch. Stop it. It takes away from the game, guys.
Coach, one of the questions we, because like you said, this is polarizing. People have drawn up their battle lines almost in this town over this topic. And one of the questions we've heard from the pro Marcus Peters crowd is, what's the difference between he and Travis Kelce? Travis Kelce's been thrown out of a game for throwing his towel at a ref. He's done, obscene gestures to refs on the field. He's gotten personal fouls for different things. He's done all these things you talked about, but he's still here. So what's the difference between Marcus Peters and Travis Kelce?
They made a statement with a star. That's not the first one. If the tight end continues to do what he's doing, he might be gone too. And listen to this. You got to give credit to the organization in this sense. You know what they're saying? NFL draft is coming up. By the way, we drafted Marcus Peters. We can develop corners. We'll go get another one. I'm just saying. So you can say what you want. Look, I'm not making this a black and white thing. So I know some people will go that way because that's easy to do. Okay? I'm not making this a black and white thing. I'm not saying, well, they got rid of him because he's a black player. No, look. Some people will want to go down that road. I ain't going down that road. I'm not. And I'm not going down that road because of this. I know the Hunt family, and I know their head coach. And if anyone thinks this is a black and white thing, you better figure out who the Hunt family is. Think about when this organization got started and the players that they went after, the players that were on this team, when this team, the conception of this team, they went down into the SWAC, to Grambling, into those schools, and drafted players of color that were on this team. So let's don't make it a black and white thing. We can do that. But not on my watch. You ain't doing that. Don't go down that road with the Hunt family. And don't go down that road with Andy Reid. That's the wrong road to travel, guys. You better look up your history before you even think about that one.
And how much of this is this is going to be a different locker room, not just because Marcus Peters is gone, Derrick Johnson is gone, Alex Smith is gone, Tom Bahali is probably going to be gone, and you're giving the keys to Patrick Mahomes II.
Oh, he can't lead anybody. He hasn't done nothing.
So who's going to be the leader now in that locker
room? You can't lead no team until you start winning. He ain't won a game yet. He ain't won enough games for him to lead anybody. He don't know how to play quarterback.
So where's the leadership in the locker room now, Justin Houston?
It's gonna come from the coaches right now, and then eventually some guys will inherit that, and some guys will look. This is hard to lead. I always tell this, people in life. This is why it's hard to develop leaders. Most people in life want to be liked. You can't be liked to be a leader. You want to be respected. See, that's the difference. And that's why it's hard for people to lead. Because you got to do some things where you got to turn your back on the crowd and no one agrees. It's like, oh, no, I want to be liked, so I don't want to push anybody. No. When you lead, you want to be respected, and that's hard for players because you got to do it every day, man. You got to be in the building first. You got to be the first one on the practice field. You got to just do what you got to do. You know, every day, man. That's hard. It's hard.
Look, you've coached young quarterbacks. You coached Brody Croyle here. It didn't work out for him, but you've coached young quarterbacks in other places. When you say
Chad Pennington.
Yeah, Chad Pennington for sure. And won games with Chad Pennington at quarterback. So you say that Patrick Mahomes can't lead yet because he hasn't done anything. How does he have to approach it then? And who leads until he's ready to lead? How quickly can he lead? How quickly can he prove to the guys that because doesn't the quarterback, everybody says he's got to be the guy that commands the huddle and people look to.
Should be. He's got to come in early. He's got to leave late. When he steps on the field, he's got to rally the troops with his ability to connect. Look, when you're the quarterback, this is one of those deals where you play with the ball. You affect everybody. This is what I told Chad. Hey, Chad, you want to lead? Make sure you're talking to the DBs. Make sure you're down there. You got to visit with everybody in the locker room. You got to be an ambassador for the locker room. Don't get hung up on the offensive side of it. You got to talk to all the guys. Take them out. Go to dinner with them. Different position groups. So they get to know you and you get to know them. All that stuff. That's how you lead, man. You don't just lead the offense. You got to lead the whole team. And there's going to be a moment in the game where you're getting beat up, where you're just flat getting hit, man. You're getting knocked around, and you just keep getting up, and you just keep fighting. And when those players see that, they go, that's our quarterback. That's our guy. That's what you got to do now. It's hard. Does he have that in him? He does. He is a talented guy. He's got emotion. He can't talk about it. You don't need to talk about it. Go be about it. You don't need the quarterback never needs to talk about himself. He doesn't have to do anything. Let the other people talk for him. Just go play, man. Just go play. Don't tell me what you're gonna do. Just go play. Make the players around you better.
Do you think Marcus Peters will flourish in L.A., or are there more problems down the road?
Well, I hope so. He's going to flourish on the field, but then he's going to have an incident or two. He's in L.A. He's with the Stars now. How does he handle Los Angeles? That's different. That's just a little bit different in Los Angeles. Now, he gets it. He's a West Coast guy. He gets it. He's going to be in the spotlight. Hopefully, what's happened to him, he'll go, you know what, maybe I need to tone it down a little bit. Your emotions? No. But after the whistle, you got to tone it down. You're too good of a player. You're too good of a player. You don't need to do that. You're one of the best corners in the league, man. Just go play. You're in L.A. now. You're on a California team. You're good.
Coach,
go play football.
You've spent a lot of time in Northern California. Sure. You mentioned earlier, and I thought that the quote you just had about whether or not this is a black and white thing, that's something we're going to have to replay because I think you spoke very passionately about that.
Yeah.
With all the stuff I've seen written about Marcus Peters and his cousin or extremely close friend, Marshawn Lynch,
yeah.
A lot of times I think, I don't know how much of this is a black and white thing as it is an Oakland thing. There's that defiance, that culture of the neighborhood they came from.
No doubt.
It's defiance. Could you identify with somebody like that maybe better than somebody else could? I'm wondering if that's what it's going to take for Marcus Peters to find his true comfort zone. Does that make sense?
It's always good to know the environment where people have come from. And I think sometimes we fail to want to learn that. I get where those guys are coming from. Okay? I come from the neighborhood. I get it. I get that part. But it's bigger than that. And so I just think there's ways that you gotta, you know, look. You gotta be a good communicator. You gotta feel people from where they're from. and what they're talking about. And sometimes if you don't know that because of your inexperience, you don't know how to handle it. And that's no one's fault. But this is where the leadership comes in. As a leader, you're always trying to learn, and you're trying to learn about your players. And you're always looking for answers. You're looking for information. You're an information gatherer. You know, and you got to kind of know when they say something. Some people go, "What did he mean by that?" No. Like, you can go and look. You go in different churches. You know, and you get a different reaction from people. You know, you go in a Catholic church, you go, okay, there's certain Catholic churches with, you know, buy the book. Then you go to other ones and they got music playing. You go to the Baptist church and the Protestant church, you know, you go, oh, man, it's just different. There's a different vibe. There's different atmosphere. All worshiping the same person, right? So that's dealing with players, too. And that's what makes the game of football so great, guys, is that you get them from all parts of the country. You get some guys from Alabama. You get some guys from Georgia. You get some guys from California. You get some guys from Orange County. They've come all different walks of life. That's what makes the locker room so dynamic, is that you get all these different cultures and different attitudes and different, you know, environments these guys grow in. You got to learn that, man. But that's what's great about it. The players learn it. The players get it. And you as a coach, you got to get it too.
So bottom line, Coach, do you think this is a good move by the Chiefs or whether you regret it?
No, I think it's a good move. And I think it's a good move for Peterson, for Marcus too. Because now he's back in California, you know, and hopefully he'll learn a lesson from this too. You don't have to change his personality. But when the whistle stops blowing, you got to stop. Because he can't be missing games because of emotional outbursts. He can't get a 15-yard foul and all of a sudden it creates a situation where the offense scores or they lose the game. He can't do that. He's better than that.
Final question, Coach.
Sure.
You're always an emotional guy when you come on with us. You speak passionately. I got to say, this is the most fired up I've heard you on our show in a long time. Why?
Because I knew where this was going, okay? When I talked yesterday, and I kind of knew where this was going. I've been in the bubble right now watching college football, and I when I saw the trade come across the wire on ESPN, I went, oh boy, and I already knew because I'm thinking if I'm in the studio, I'm gonna have to deal with this one, mm-hmm. And I'm going, this is one where. If I'm asked a question, I'm going to set the record straight, okay? Because, first of all, and I told you guys this, I'm indebted to that family, to that Hunt family, and I know who those people are, okay? Look, they gave me my first job in the National Football League as a coach, as a scout. They made a job for me. They didn't have to do that, okay? There was no job there when I got there. They created a job for me. So I get it, okay? I know what those people are. I've broken bread with those people. I say it all the time. When we lost Lamar Hunt, we lost one of the best owners in the National Football League. You go back and you look at the history of what that man did for players of color to let them play a game of football. That a lot of times, growing up in the 50s and the 60s, they were denied the opportunity. He said, the heck with that. So let's be careful before we make this a black and white thing. And it's easy to do because that's what we want to do. We want to make everything about color. It ain't about color. This ain't got nothing to do with color. Okay? And I say that because I know those people. And I know Clark Hunt. I know his family. So them people can do what they can say what they want. You better know what you're talking about before you go down that road.
Coach, you just want to stay on the show until 10 o'clock with us? We don't want to let you go. So.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I'm taking my girls and my wife are in town. We're going to visit one of the old Catholic schools today. We're trying to find a school for my girls, man. You know, they're in town for a week. We're shadowing schools, and so it's been good, man. But, you know, this is one of those deals, guys. You guys know me. I mean, and those people in Kansas City know me as well. You know, most of the people that know who I am, man. Look, I just speak the truth, man. I got no hidden agenda, okay? I have no hidden agenda. I just think we live in a world where I don't want to go back to the 60s. I don't want to go back to that, man, to that civil rights deal. I dealt with that. And my father dealt with it before that, okay, when he was born. We're better than that, man. We can't, but that's the easy one. Let's make it black and white so we can get a discussion. You know, because it riles up emotions. Hey, man, I've been through that. We don't need to go there, man. We're past that, man. We're better than that. Our country's better than that, man. We got to be better than that. We got that's ancient history, man. We look at it and learn from it. We don't want to go back and start repeating stuff. That's bad. That's bad for our country. That's bad for everything. And it's bad for football. Football is the great uniter. It unites people, man. When they walk into Arrowhead, they come from all walks of life when they walk into that stadium. And they all wear that red, man. They're all Chiefs. We got to realize that, man. We can't walk back out of the stadium and then go into our little communities and go, oh, man, no, don't do that. We got to be better than that.
Coach, thank you very much for the time. And
yes.
Hopefully we can talk to you again real soon. And good luck looking for schools for your daughters today.
Okay, guys. Thank you much.
That is Herm Edwards. Let's go ahead and put that on loop and we'll leave.
Yeah, we're not getting any better than that today. We got some good stuff lined up, but we're not topping that.
Right. Well, Danny Klingscale's at 8:30, so watch your mouth, please. Konzo Martin at 9 o'clock. Hey, it's a pretty good show.
Heck of a show, but I'm just saying, Herm Edwards, how long has Herm been coming on with us, Jake? Decade?
Probably at least 5 or 6 years,
and
minimum.
He's always emotionally charged up and ready to go every time. He's never half asleep when he comes on with us or anything, but that was the most passionate Herm Edwards I've ever heard on this show.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm saying something.
I spent some time on the phone with him yesterday, just chatting about some stuff, some business stuff, and then, you know, him and I got into this a little bit, and I'm like, you know what, Coach? We need this on the air tomorrow. Right. He's like, okay.
For the day, Jake. A for the day from you.
Stand down.
It's my birthday. I can give him an A.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Right now it's a B, but he can work his way to an A. Don't give it to him now. We got 2 hours left. He will
like
fart
Marcus
the rest
Peters,
of the show away, right?
It's like Marcus Peters. Yeah. I don't want to guarantee him the money because then might throw a flag and a ref or something.
Don't go to the locker room at halftime and say, hey, great game today. No. We still got the third and fourth quarters, please. All right?
Good point.
All right? I don't need him throwing flags up into the crowd, all right, in the 9 o'clock hour. You stay on the field with us, all right? We need you.
Man.
All right, we'll be right back after this. I feel like I just went to church. It feels good.
Yeah, it does.
Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.